Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you as we have this pioneering heart to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Hello, Brad. How are you, boy? He's the one that's excited today. Am I too loud now, Trevor? I just want to encourage you, what's happened this week at the petrol pumps? The biggest shock we've ever had. Was it 1 rand 40 something that the price went up? I want to tell you, your God wants to tell you that he loves you, that he wants to provide for you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. You cannot get into a place of fear when the world is running its way. God is our provider, and we need to know that. And I just really just sense God wanted to encourage you, as that word came from Sally. God will provide for you. Yes, there's going to be budgeting, and you're going to have to look at things. And myself, when you go to the shelves again, and you say, wow, look at the price of these things going up. Yes, there will be inflation. But the reality, remember who your source is. You've honored God with your money. He said he will provide. He will open up the windows of heaven and he will provide for you. I just really want to encourage you, don't get into a fear situation. How's my money going to stretch? This is God's problem, not yours. He's going to make it stretch in a wonderful and incredible way. So thank you, Lord, for that. Please turn to your neighbor, to your left and to your right, and greet someone that you haven't said hello to this morning. And just greet those around you. Tell them that They're precious and that they are loved, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Morning, Mom. Did you hear that? Brad told me Jesus loves me. Thank you, Brad. That's good news. You know, with excitement, as God is growing this body and God is raising up leaders, and we're really trusting for that on Saturday the 20th, and I want to invite you to come and join us at the house at Abring and Briar. If you really want to get into leadership and maybe your season is now the time, whoever you are, doesn't always have to be us, they have to instigate it. You just put your hand up and God will actually use you. But we have a great privilege today is to invite Dave and Lou onto the deacon team. So let's give them a good hand. And I'd just like the eldership team to come and join us behind, and we're going to pray for this wonderful couple. Let's stand up here on the stage. So does everyone know who Dave and Lou are? Or is? My English is good today. Really, it's a fantastic privilege that we find that God's brought you into our context and you've put your hand to the wheel, and we just really know that the Lord's blessing is upon you, and we are so looking forward to as we work together with you. So we want to just pray for this one a couple. So we just want to just stretch out your hands toward them, because, you know, stretching out our hands is not just touching, but it's actually releasing something of God's grace and power over them. So, Father, we just thank you for Dave and Lou. Thank you for the gift they already to us. And thank you, Lord, for the season ahead of us as they have willingly surrendered to you and said, Lord, we want to be in this place where we can serve as deacons in the life of Church on the Way. And Lord, I pray that your presence would flow through them, that your anointing will be in and through them, and that, Lord, this will be a season of prosperity, that their influence would be great, for everything that you've planned for them, that you purpose for them, will be fulfilled in and out working your plan in their life through this church and through what you've called them to do. So we just declare your blessing over them, we declare your anointing over them, and we declare them into this role of deacons in the life of Church in the Way now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Is there anything else you guys have in your heart that you'd like to share with them? Anything in your heart? Nothing at the moment. Okay, you're in a good place.
Lots in our heart.
Lots in your heart. Oh, you got something? Okay.
So I've said it before that God has got you in his hand. And as he's got you in his hand, you just find rest in him. But while he's got you in his hand, you seek him first in everything that you do.
Amen. Amen. Welcome. Fantastic. Congratulations. Well done.
Can you say something?
Yes, you can say something. Brad? Mike, please.
Sorry.
Hi, friends. It's really a wonderful privilege to be here and to serve on this team. This morning, the Lord gave me Exodus chapter 17. And we've been praying that this whole week, actually. And it's about Aaron and Hur lifting up Moses' arms when they got tired. And then Joshua won the battle in the valley against the Amalekites. But it was Moses' hands who needed to be held up because he held the staff of God, which he had used to part the Red Sea. And that's our role. Each one of us here is to hold up the elders' hands and allow them to do what God's called us all to do as a family. And Amen. It's a privilege to do that, Mark.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you guys. Let's give them a hand, folks. Okay. Let's pray, and let's, as we come to God's word. Father, we thank you. This is a time to hear what you have to say to us. And really do ask that this morning that you would encourage every individual today, that every one of our hearts would be filled with your presence, with your strengthening, and that our minds would be renewed today, Lord, that when we leave here today, that we'll be transformed, because that's what the word says, Lord, renewed by the transforming of our minds. And I really ask that the power of the Holy Spirit will be upon every individual as your word goes out today. That, Lord, that life would be in this meeting today. Life would change every one of us now. In Jesus' name, we pray. A few years ago, when I was at university, we used to study at the Morton Weiler Library, and I remember coming out for a break, and there was a wall, and it was the time when we were under those apartheid, and people were looking forward to what was going to happen, and Madiba was seen as someone very important, and was someone very important. God blessed us with, as a nation, with Madiba. But I remember standing there, and at that time it was a criminal offense to be involved with anything like that, and there were guys on the wall there were whispering and saying, "We saw Madiba yesterday, and he was sharing the message of hope. We mustn't give up. We mustn't give up. There's hope. We're going to overcome." And I looked at this, and I thought, yeah, these people were looking to a leader to bring them through. And I thank God for Nelson Mandela, and God gave me as a gift to our nation, and he transformed our nation. And yes, we're going forward, and we've got our problems, but God gave us a gift of Madiba. So I'm not talking politics, but what I want to say is, do you have the same heart for Jesus? Do you whisper and hear that whisper about Jesus when they're talking about him? He's our King. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. Madiba was a man, but Jesus is God. And I want to just encourage us is that we need to be carrying this tenderness and this wonder of Christ and understanding him, because, wow, and we need to be hearing that whisper, because has your Jesus become stale? Have you lost the awe and the reverence for who he is? Has he become commonplace? No, never. We need to get him to a place where we worship him and exalt him, and he must be new every day in our hearts as we look to him and allow him to be Lord. So I really just wanted, before I get into the message, to encourage you. May Jesus be your all in all. May you never lose the awe and the wonder of who he is. And I'm just even sensing, if he's become stale in your life, we're going to be breaking bread later. May you again come to a place of surrender and give everything to him and get that freshness again where it's all about Jesus. It cannot just be in those times when we give our hearts to the Lord. It needs to be every single day. We need to allow Jesus to become our everything in our lives. So today, my title, my message is Knowing Christ Jesus Our Lord, and I apologize to Trouter and Joyce. You've heard the message already on Thursday. I had the privilege of preaching at Thornhill Manor, but it's better today, okay? I'm believing that. You know, I want to just say is that we preach many sermons and there's lots of preparation that we actually do, but I want to just say today's a simple message, but it's got to be caught by revelation by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be saying things and preaching things, and I believe the word is going to go out. But you've got to take this, like anything that the Lord delivers, and you've got to go and meditate on it. If you don't meditate on it, because there's something that's got to transpire in your spirit and your mind, it's through the meditation of God's word to bring renewal, and it's got to become truth. And when it becomes truth, it becomes life. And that's everything when it comes to God. When he brings things to you, it's these moments that I really believe this is a profound message. If you would take hold of it and allow God to do it. Just as a good discipline, we were taught by Leon van Dahl when I was at Cornerstone Church, is that when you come to the meeting on a Sunday and you hear the word of God, it's not just another download. It's something you should be taking notes, and I hope you are taking notes, whether on your phone or your notebook, taking notes on these things, because allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and highlight things and put crosses and NBs that you, when God is actually speaking to you, and then take Sunday afternoon after your lunch or that and sit back and meditate on what God is actually saying to you. And I'm telling you now, you will grow leaps and bounds into maturity in Christ. If it's just another message and it just becomes knowledge and, well, that was a good message or that wasn't a good message, what's going to be? It's going to be empty. But you've got to do something with it. Remember, you're a disciple, you're a student, you're in a place of learning. We never get to a place that we're the master. We're never the master. Jesus is always the master, and he's always teaching us, and we've got to have that role of being a student. So I really encourage you, take hold of what God is saying to you today, meditate on it, that it becomes truth to you, becomes life to you today. So the text is, we're continuing with Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 9. It's the letter to the church in Philippi. We're continuing knowing Christ Jesus, our life. And I read from verse 8 of Philippians chapter 3. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So I'm going to be dealing over 2 weeks with this portion of scripture, and today I'm dealing with Christ, our life. Now this life that the Bible talks about, that Christ has given to us, is the Greek word is Zoe. And we understand from that word Zoe, this is not the life of existence, this is the life of divine life, this is God's life. And when you become born again, we receive eternal life. And that word for the Greek is the Zoe. You've received divine life. That's an incredible fact already, as you comprehend that God has given you his very life. And we need to open up and expound that. This work that he completed on the cross, when he said it is finished, he became and finished and took away our death, but also gave us life. And that's an incredible fact, and we're going to open that up today. So I want to use some scriptures in context of this and enable us to be able to study this together. So in summary, what are we going to be doing? Number one, we're going to be dealing with the relationship between Christ and us. Number two, we're going to deal in the secret of the Christian life. Number three, we're going to be crucified with Christ. And fourthly, we're going to be dealing with a victorious life in Christ. So the scriptures that we're going to be looking at that expound a bit more on this from the New King James Version, Colossians 3 verse 4, it says, "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Who Christ, who is our life. Philippians 1 verse 21, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And then Galatians 2:20, "For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So the first point is our relationship between Christ and us. And the question is, what is man's relationship with Christ? Now, Jesus, when he walked on earth and he called his disciples, he said, "Come follow me." And even when we get to John 21, and when Peter had denied the Lord and he got and God restored him back through his love, he said, "You follow me." Now, that is the absolute reality, is that we are following Christ. We're following the living God. We're not following a book. We're not following our thinking. We're not following rules and regulations. We're following a person, and his name is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And out of this, we've got to understand this following. We've not meant to follow God in our flesh. Understand, God calls us to follow him in the spirit. So we can do things in the flesh, and we can try and get to follow the good example that Jesus set us. And where will that lead us? It'll lead us into good works, but it won't lead us into divine works that God has got for us. We've got to get to a place where we get to a place where we see that the Lord who lives inside of us enables us to follow him. Now, we all caught up in this thing is we get to a place where we want to just copy the example of Jesus. Now, that is good, because Paul even said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And yes, that is a sense of taking the scriptures, but it's more than just taking a bunch of rules and regulations and landing up and following Christ. Because I want to say to you today, if you land up and follow Christ by a bunch of rules and regulations, you're going to get despondent and you're going to start despairing, because there's actually no life in it. There's good works in it. But when it comes to life, life has got to be birthed from within you. It's an expression of God who's within you, flowing through you. This life that God has given us is an impossibility to do in the flesh. Impossibility. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is it who bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So this is the example. The Lord, in John chapter 15, tells his disciples, he's the source. He's everything. He's everything. And then you will grow into be the branches, and this living life that's in him will flow through us and will eventually bear fruit of the Spirit that God wants to do through us. Now, we haven't always comprehended that in our lives. We've separated Christ from our life, and we've got us into a place where we get into do work, and we're not getting to a place where we're living in the Spirit. And God wants to deliver us from that. So this relationship that we get to is very different from just living in the natural. So what does the Bible tell us to do? Our principal relationship is Christ should be our life. Now, we are ignorant of that. We are ignorant that Christ is our life. We try and live our lives through Christ. And yes, that thinking is possibly right, but I want to say to you today is it's possibly wrong, is that we've got to find it the other way around. We've got to find where is the source of life, and we understand the scripture says Christ in you is the hope of glory, and Christ is our life. Is this life of God is within you. It's the person Christ that's within you. And if he is your life, he's got to live his life through you. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's not a matter is that you've got to live your life through him and he must bless you. No. We've got to get to a place where he starts to live his life through you. And let me tell you, this ignorance, I really believe, I've walked with the Lord many years now, and I'm only starting to comprehend this thing because I've tried to live this life. I've tried to live this good life, and I've tried to be a good disciple, and I've kept my quiet times, and I go to prayer meetings, and I do these things, and I get to a place where, oh, actually, this is too much. This is a doing thing. And I actually, it's not producing what God wants to produce. And I'm learning this process, and this is what I want to introduce you today. When Christ, who is your life, and to live is Christ. And Paul had an incredible understanding of this. Because you see, we can make this gospel an external gospel, but it needs to become an internalized gospel, which means we need to live in the Spirit. And only this way will we find the victory of allowing Christ to live his life through us. So what is the secret of this Christian life? It's not to make it a goal. So often we put the resolutions out there, I'm going to go and do this, and we love it. The 1st of January, we've got a New Year's resolutions, and it gets to February, and poof, it's gone. How many of you said, well, I'm going to go to gym this year, and I'm going to go 3 days a week, and I'm going to get fit, and I'm going to be strong. By end of February, that's finished. Am I right? Because it's a resolution. It's a goal. It's the same thing is with this life. And you see, I'm trying to preach grace rather than works and get you to a place to understand the resources of heaven are under grace, but not under works. Because works, if you do it in works, it's in your own strength. And let me tell you, if you do it in your own strength, you're going to fail. You're going to fail, absolutely fail. If you do it under grace, all the power, the resources of heaven are there for you because that's where God destined us. The miracle of what God created us is to live this life in Christ here under grace. It's a journey. Let me tell you, you're not going to find this easy because you're going to have to work at it because we are trained in works. We are trained to do. We go to school. Yeah. School is a lovely environment. There's some wonderful school teachers here, but it destroys grace. If you do not do this and stand in the line, I see teachers here, they're smiling at me. If you don't do what I tell you, smacks, or there's punishment. That's contrary to the scriptures. The scriptures is not a works-based thing. Yes, we need to do things because when we find ourselves in grace, we will do these things. We've got to get to this place. We've got to be transformed in our thinking from this of doing to this thing of being in Christ and living this fullness of his grace. And for me, Paul found the secret. He said his life is Christ, and he lives because Christ lives in him. I say that again. His life is Christ, and he lives because Christ lives in him. This was never his goal. This was never his standard. It was his reality. It was his reality. And this came by revelation. This was something that he was trained in the law. He was trained in the doing. He knew, I don't know what the Levitical law of Leviticus. So there's like 1,900 laws that you had to keep. He was trained in that. He was trained in Gamaliel. He knew what he needed to do there. But when Jesus revealed the way in him, he surrendered to Christ and found his way. And that's what I want to bring you to, this truth, the secret of life is found in Christ. You see, victory is found through a substitutionary life. You see, Jesus became our substitute, and we understand that, and you've been taught that. I'm sure you've been taught that Jesus was our substitute on the cross, and he did. So firstly, Jesus bore our sins on the cross by his death. We were delivered from eternal death, our sins were forgiven, and we are no longer condemned. We rejoice in that. We all know that we are no longer sinners, but now we are children of God. We rejoice that Jesus took our eternal death. That we no longer have to die. He died for us. We don't have to do that. We're living now. But what have we also received? Because Christ died on the cross for us, Now we live. We've been delivered from living our own life, but now we live in him. I want you to hear that today. If you hear anything today, not only has he taken away your death, he's given you life. He's given you the ability to live in him. This is what the secret of the cross. It's not a hope. It's not something that we try and believe. It needs to become a reality. You, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You see, this is good news. The day you heard you didn't need to die, you rejoiced. It's a great gospel. But the day you heard that you don't need to live, that is also a great gospel. Hear what I'm saying when I'm saying that. The day you heard you don't need to live, you don't need to try and live. I'll explain myself. Because if you do this in the flesh from this side, you're going to become weary and burdensome and toiling, and you're going to be flogging yourself, and you're going to get dissatisfied with yourself. And this gospel that you say, why am I trying to do this? It will end up in dead works, and there will be, the production of that will be failure. But when you get to this place, understanding that you've been given this life, you've been given this person, and he wants to live his life through you, this is the grace of God. This is the grace of God. You don't have to try anymore. You just got to be. Yes, but it's the things in the spirit, and I'll explain myself some more. So no more toiling, no more striving, no more burdensome, but to this place of freedom in Christ. You see, this life that you're given, God has exempted you from self-effort. Trying to be a good Christian. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You'll become a failure. Christ wants to live through you, and as you surrender to him, he will live his life through you. Not I, the next heading, not I, but Christ. And I think we've got to get that into our Galatians 2:20, into our thinking, is that in our own strength, we will never satisfy the demands that God has for us. It's an impossibility to live life and fulfill what God has for us. But when we start to live that Christ is our life, firstly, we do it by faith in the Son of God who dwells and lives in us. You see, this transition is the hand of the flesh to get the spade out, to get the scissors out, to get the pen, and to work it out in the natural. And yeah, God makes you a new person and he puts you into this place of grace, but it's in the spirit. And the work you got to do is faith. Is faith. It's believing what God has done and to become a reality in your life. When this becomes a reality, your work is to believe. That's your work. And when you believe, then God causes you to do in him, and you start to see the fruit of that. Problem. We are so entrenched in this way. To get to this way takes revelation, and it takes the power of the Holy Spirit for you to grow into this process. It's not going to happen overnight. You're going to have to learn the new life to live in Christ and Christ to live through you. You see, you've got to get to a place where you have faith in the Son of God who dwells in you and lives in you, and let Christ live through you. Now, this is building a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the God within you, because it's not my will be done, but Father, your will be done. It's, Lord, it's your will be done in every situation in life. You've got to come into that place and be surrendered to him and allow him to live his life through you. We preached the other week about going the extra mile by giving your cloak, by taking your cheek. It's only the Christ in you that can do that. You in your own strength will never do that. It's only Christ in you that will enable you to do that. And this is something, this rich deposit of God within you, we've got to allow him to take up his rightful place in our lives. And when we do that, I want to assure you, you're going to walk a different life. And I don't, you might have walked with the Lord many years. And I want to say to you today, don't continue down this road of works. Get to this place of Christ. Get to this place of faith. Get to this place of walking in the grace of God and live in experiences. If you've been a failure, you must probably hear. And I want to tell you, this transition, when you live here, it's the easiest thing. When you say, okay, Lord, it's now your problem. And I'm telling you, that takes faith. Because you always want to say, I've got a solution, and you run into the side again, I will work it out. And the Lord says, okay, I'll watch you work it out, and let's see if you get it right. And invariably, God is gracious, and sometimes it works out, but it's not his best for him to live his life through you. We've got to get to this place where it's not I, but Christ. So that we have confidence, no longer in our own knowledge, but this God that lives inside of us and living his life through us. And some of you might say, well, Mark, that's the foolish way. I want to say to you, as the Lord has revealed this to me, is contend for this life of grace. Contend for this life that the Lord will live his life through you as you surrender to him. See, the third point, that you crucified with Christ, and I read that scripture again from Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Remember, unless you are crucified, the I cannot be removed. You've got to go back 2,000 years. Remember, we are in God. We were predestined before the world began. So this is a spiritual concept. 2,000 years physically, you cannot be there. But 2,000 years in the spirit, 1,000 years like a day before the Lord. You, the I, the old man, was crucified. You've got to recognize that. You've got to recognize that this I does not live anymore. It's being crucified. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Okay, I strip off Christ. Now, how do I live? How do I start to live? I was living in the I. Crucified with Christ. Dead. On the cross. 2,000 years ago, you died in Christ. Now what? Resurrection. Christ was raised. How do I live? I live by faith in the Son of God. I'm in him. You were placed in him. Now I live in him. And this truth is right through Scripture. Romans 6, verse 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that this body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we no longer be enslaved to sin. This way of the veil, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. It was a veil that opened up the Holy of Holies that we can enter in. But it took us also out of this nature, out of the I, and brought us into the realm of living in Christ. Living in Christ and finding him and living in him. That's what God has destined for us. And then he says, faith in him. And I wanted to say, my next point is, this is a victorious life. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And our response should be is, Lord, I want to wash my hands of this life, and I want to live this life in you now. And I want to go on that journey. And I want to just say is it is a journey. This journey of grace, of living in Christ, is a daily affair to live in him. Yes, we are in a human body, and we get tired. And I want to just say, we've been through a busy season as a family, and I've been tired, and I've been living here for a bit. It's been ugly. It's produced death. It hasn't been nice. Hey, Nikki? She's smiling. It's not nice. But I've also seen that, Lord, I must see that I have died, that I need to be in this place here of grace and in Christ. And when I get to that place, then the life of God comes through. So what is the greatest challenge that we will face? It's not temptation to sin. It's rather temptation to react and get back into the old way of I. That is the reality that we have, is that we can fall back so easily into this lifestyle. When things don't seem to be working of living in Christ and this way is too difficult because you don't know the things of the Spirit. You haven't had your mind renewed. You're not trusting God. You're not exercising your faith in Him. I know the old way. Let me go back to the old way. And you go back to the old way and it produces death again. And God wants us to remain there and trust Him, because the things of the Spirit should be easier, but sometimes they're not, because we don't comprehend them by faith. And I want to just say to you, you must refuse the old way. Look forward daily. Allow the Lord to do His business through you. So practically, this is always a very practical thing. We've got the truth of this matter. How do we live in grace? You've got to get your mind renewed. You've got to understand those scriptures that Christ is your life, that you no longer live, and the life that you live in the body, you live by faith in the Son of God. You've got to get that into your cup and understand that, and let it become revelation to you that this truth, that this Christ that living in you, do not keep Him under lock and key, but release Him to live His life. And I wanted to say, opportunity is going to arise even after this meeting as you go and live out there. It's not my way anymore, Lord. What is your way? And sometimes that leading is not scripture and verse. It's not the voice of God speaking to you. It's your spirit that is led by the Spirit of God. You will have a knowing of God's peace and what He's actually doing in your life, what to do. And, you know, we've learned some of these lessons from the scriptures, but what I'm trying to get to is not necessarily just to listen to the rule book, but to listen to the person, Christ within you, and allow Him to live His life through you. This is why trials come. This is why temptation comes. And I'm learning to do this thing, to surrender to the Christ in me. And wait. Because we don't have to react and respond immediately. And we don't always get it right because we've learned that way for too much. And we've got to get to this place. Now, Lord, what is your way in this thing? And sometimes this is really tough because God doesn't answer immediately. He says, wait, wait. And I will show you the way. And He will show you what to do and how to do. You know, the Lord said to His disciples, do not worry what you will say when you come before kings and that, because He will put the very words in your mouth. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that, and I pray that you have heard that, that you say to the Lord, okay, now, Lord, start to speak through me. Whether it's a business meeting, whether it's talking to your child, whether it's encouraging anyone, Lord, put your words in my mouth. You see, I say to many people, many times when I stand up behind this pulpit, is another man talking, and I want to say to you today, the other man is Christ. I want to give Him all the glory and all the honor. It's Him. And I want to say to you, this is not just for the pulpit, this is for life. This is for life in every circumstance you find. It's with the petrol attendant. It's when you go to the checkout thing. It goes when you're passing your neighbor. It's when you are down, when you are up. This Christ within you wants to reveal this divine life. It's not a goal. It's a reality. God has given you His Zoe life. Don't wait for heaven. Live it here now. Asher and Chanel, God wants to teach you this. You've got a wonderful life ahead. And God wants to work this out in your life. There are things to explore. There's things to work out. But you need to understand Him inside you. And He will give you the wisdom. This wisdom will just come out. Because it's Him doing it to you. Young lives to be prospered. God wants to prosper you. He wants to bless you. But if you don't live this way, you'll live this way and produce death. And He wants to encourage you to live this way. All of us. Every single one. I don't know what station in life that you find yourself. We've all been trained according to the world. All of us. All of our thinking is according to the world, even you folk online. And the way you live in, and the psychologists will tell you, your coping mechanism is according to how you've been trained. That's the psychologist telling you. That's why the Bible says You need to be renewed. And that's why we have preaching, and that's why we have teaching to teach us. And I'm here to encourage you and to get you to a place. Recognize what Jesus has done for you and who he is in your life. And through every affair of life, walk with him, surrender to him on a daily basis, and allow him to live his life through you. This is, I want to encourage you, this is a journey of adventure. This is a journey of exploration. It's a journey that God can only design. I don't believe in fate. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe God is in control. So whatever comes across your path, whatever's happened to you, good or bad, God is in control. He never perpetrated those things, but he's determined now how is he going to live through you? How are you going to respond to that thing? Are you going to bring him to a place where he lives and brings glory to the Father through that? This is what I really want to encourage you, is that find this way of Christ living his life through you. Am I getting across? Because I believe this is key. It's not just your death, it's your life. And I believe because people are looking for life. Yes, John. Just can we get the mic, please?
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I just remember a very strong sermon of 2 or 3 years ago, Becoming a Lighthouse for Christ. And this just seems to resonate and just take that one step further.
Amen.
And that's what it's about. I mean, it was a very, very powerful sermon.
Amen. Thanks, John, for that. And that's the key thing, is because this light is within you. And God himself, you know, I wanted to say thank God for Jesus. You know, he didn't even get to the cross and say, okay, that's it. I paid the price for your sin. Now get on with life. And you're assured of your salvation. You get to heaven. Come in. You've got in. He didn't do that. He went to the right hand of the Father and says, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And he came back. And he came to live inside of us. And he says, I haven't only come to live inside of you. I've come to live my life in you. This is the God that walked 33 years on the earth physically, but he's in you now and he wants to live his life through you. But we've kept him under lock and key. We've kept him dormant. We've got to get him alive. Jesus is alive. And he's in you. And he wants to live through you. Will you give him his rightful place? Not just Lord, but will you let him live through you? Oh, I have a passion for this because I'm telling you, it's a key. It's a key for all of us. You see, this is the gospel. If you can preach the gospel and anyone that's out there and is getting drunk on a Saturday night and getting high on drugs, and if he heard this message and tell him that Jesus loves you and he wants to live his life through you, you don't have to do anything. You have to follow him and allow him to lead his life through you. Do you think they want to run away from that? They don't, because their lives are broken. They cannot do it. And God wants to do it through them. So the challenge is, would you allow Christ to be your life and your only life through you? May he teach you to be a son of God. It's not a gender thing, it's who you are in Christ. May he teach you to be a better husband and to be a husband and to be a wife. It's not better because it gets back to goals. And in him, I'm a husband. In him, I'm a father. If I live there, I'm a bad husband, I'm a poor father. But if I live here and I follow him, I will do well. Because then I'm under a place and can work in Christ. As you're a child or a student, I want to say, even in this thing of calling and ministry, I believe God calls us to ministry. But it's not you fulfilling the ministry in him. It's him fulfilling his ministry through you. When you surrender that thing, whatever you want, you know, I want to say this very clearly. Don't put yourself in a box and say, that's all God has called me to. Never. This Christ, who's the creator, who is in heaven and all the universe, don't limit him in any way. You might say, well, I'm an evangelist. Yes, there might predominantly be an evangelist, but the reality is, don't limit him. You can teach, you can shepherd people, you can get on your knees and scrub the floors. That's Christ in you. There's never a problem with it. There's no sense of hierarchy in him. He will do. He washed his disciples' feet, and those were smelly feet. There was grime and dirt, and I don't know what their toenails looked like. Not as pretty as these ladies' nails today are. They were awful. But Jesus cleaned their feet. I want to say another aspect as you live, Christ lived his life, this gifting that he gives. You know, Jesus manifested all the gifts without measure. And I don't want to say, you know, we want to say to you, yes, we have the gift of prophecy, but why do you limit him just to the gift of prophecy? He can do miracles through you. He can do gifts of healings through you. This God is within you, can manifest who he is, whatever. Cast out demons. Allow this Lord to do this through you. Jesus' ministry has not changed, and he wants to do it through you. You know, Laurie, it's so great to have you here today. But you know, you meet those motormacs that I'll never meet, and some of them need hands laid on them in those greasy hands. And you know, you just pray for them. Lord, say your words over me. God will deliver them and set them free. Every one of them, there's no limitation, because the only limitation is you getting in the way. Let Christ do his life through you. You in business. Oh, I want to say to business people here today, every businessman wants to prosper and to have great influence. Allow God to do it through you. You know, I just remember Trevor sharing, there's been some tough times in the business world. It's complicated out there. The world doesn't think like we think. But Christ understands that. And when you stand up and you allow the Lord to do it through you, he'll give you such wisdom, give you the words to be able to overcome. I want to encourage you, businessmen. When it comes to your health is God's problem. You know, God's problem. You know, all of us go through issues with health, and we trust God. But Lord, you need to get to the Lord. First, don't go to the doctor. Go to God within your heart and say, Lord, here I am. My body is actually your responsibility, not my responsibility. Because you see, if we get to this place here, my body is my responsibility. Not wrong to go to doctors, not wrong to take medication. But when it gets to this place, you need God. And Lord, my body is your responsibility. Now take care of it. Yes, I'm not exercising. Okay, let's go and exercise. I'm eating too much biltong. I wish I was. But these things, there might be indiscretions in your life. God will teach you. See, this is life. This is everything that we're doing in life here. God wants to reveal those things to us, whether in our emotions, in our provisions. Yeah, in conclusion, let's not ignore this living Christ that's within us. Let's not get into our own self-effort, but let's live by faith in Christ. Let's see the evidence of the Spirit within us, the fruit of the Spirit. Let's allow Jesus to be Lord of all, and as we submit to him. I want to encourage you. This is such an exciting life here that we live here. There's pressure in life. There's things that are happening. But if you live here, yes, we're going to come, and we're going to put the plaster on you, and we're going to fix you up, and we're going to pray for you, and you're going to feel better. Good, good, good. But that's not going to produce the fruit what God wants. If you get to this place and you surrender to that thing and realize these facts, wow, you're going to find another dimension of what you believed in. God has given you promises and the outworking of him. You can have nothing greater than God himself. Isn't that incredible? No money in the world can pay for what you've got. You've got it. Christ is in you. Open up and allow him to live his life through you. I trust you've been encouraged. I trust that you've heard what the Lord is saying to us today. I believe this is a foundational truth. This not should be only taught to those who mature, for those that are new in Christ need to learn this immediately, because then they wouldn't get into this wrong, because the church is teaching this. The church is teaching this, not teaching grace. This is not easy. This is not airy-fairy. This doesn't mean you're not going to be a disciple and disciplined. But when you're teaching rules and regulations, what do we get? We get religion. We get broken people. We get offended people. We get people that are full of demons. Sabrina wants to say something. Thank you, Sabrina.
It's very exciting, this. While we were worshiping, the Lord gave me a picture, and it's so in line with this teaching. I'm just going to try and demonstrate it. He showed me, I'll use this side, because this is the side that Mark says is the world side. I saw a picture of people connected to this pole via these elastics, and these elastic bands were flesh-colored, so they were the flesh. And as these people, they were born-again people, they were trying to walk towards God on this side and have a relationship, but the further they got, the more the tighter the elastic band got, and eventually it would pull them back again. And I really believe God wants to cut us loose.
Amen.
Of that unbelief, actually, because it is unbelief. And it's going to start with repentance. I said, Lord, please give me a scripture to confirm this. And he gave me the scripture in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ the Messiah lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith, by adherence to and reliance on and in complete trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life up for me. A friend of mine shared something with me last week that was quite amazing, and I've been pondering on it, and maybe this will help. She said, we are a spirit in a body. We're not a body with a spirit. And if we start realizing from that perspective that we are a spirit in a body, it's like this Bible has a cover. We like the cover. But everything about this word is on the inside. It's Amen. The spirit. So I just encourage you to go before the Lord and ask him, what is tying you? What are those elastics that are holding you back there? And repent, and he will forgive you. And receive it in Jesus'
name. Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you. Come stand in for the online, guys.
So while Mark was preaching, I had this picture, and God has been emphasizing these sort of things through some scriptures. And what I see is that if this is the road we live on as Christians, the road that Mark has said is the way of the life, and there is what we know, because it's not that we don't know this, it's that we want that. But if Bradley can be Jesus, I want to drag Jesus. Now you try and stay that way. I want to drag Jesus to my way, because I'm trying to get him to fit into my life so that I can be a Christian but stay on this road. And actually what I've got to do is do the same again, but if I don't pull anymore, then Jesus can drag me over this side. And I can live in him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Quentin. Elsa, you want to share? Let's go and give to Elsa, wants to share with us.
Morning, all your beautiful people. I just want to share our live ladies group on a Wednesday. Our theme is taking back this year. And it just came to me during worship this morning that God wants his rightful place in our lives, but we must allow the Holy Spirit to take back what the enemy stole from us through fear, especially this last 2 years. So the Lord just pressed on my heart, allow the Holy Spirit to erase fear from your life and replace it with faith, and allow Christ to live within you through your faith, and then grace will flow from it. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. We're going to do breaking of bread now, because this is just recognizing death and life. What Jesus has done for us, and as we've died with him, but we've also risen with him. And to commit to, as Quentin gave us that example, as Sabrina said, we break the cords and allow the Lord to bring you into the fullness that he has for you and live life in him. And let's do it in this wonderful, wonderful thing as we remember him and remember him as our very life. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to break bread together, and I'm going to ask you to come and fetch the elements, and then we'll do it together. But I want to pray for us first. Lord, we just know you love us. Because what other God would have done this for us? This provision and this life that you've given us. Sorry, Lord, that we have run our own lives. We've tried to be good Christians, but you don't want us to be good Christians. You want us to live in you, and you live through us. And today, Lord, we recognize our worldliness. We recognize our stubbornness. We recognize our unbelief. And Lord, will you forgive us? Forgive us, Lord. And we run to you now. As the scripture says, remember you. We run to you, and we want to find ourselves totally in you. And then, Lord, will you teach us to live in you? Will you teach us to allow you to live through us? I know our minds get in the way and the old ways get in the way, but Lord, as we just surrender daily to you and allow you to have your way within us, and as we live in this intimate personal relationship with you, may this adventure that you've called us to, through the trials, through the tribulations, through the sufferings, the ups and the downs, may we find the fullness of you. And Lord, when we do fail, help us to come back again to you and to find this wonderful divine life, this abundant life that you promised us. May we find it as we live in the spirit and not in the flesh. I pray that for everyone here this morning, everyone that's online and everyone will hear this message, may this be your portion. May this be the fullness of what God's grace for you. May you not make it a goal. May it be your reality. And may this reality set you free. So Lord, we commit ourselves to you. Here we are. Come and have your way amongst us. And Lord, as we take of these elements now, we come to remember you. Who are we apart from you? You are the vine, we are the branches. Apart from you, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. So that's what we come to remember today. Let's take of the elements, and then we'll break them together now in Jesus' name. Let's take the elements. So there's a table at the back, I think, and there's a table in the front. Let's share in the elements together. Amen. So everyone got the elements? I'll read Galatians 2:20 to you again. It's come through strongly this morning. I have been crucified with Christ. That's you with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Father, we just thank you for sending your Son to give us life. and to die for us as we died in him. Thank you, Lord, for your body broken for us. We remember you, and with hearts filled with gratitude, we will no longer live the old way, but we'll live the new life in you. Thank you for your body broken for us. And then, Lord, you established our new life in the new covenant with better promises and better blessings. We thank you for that. That, Lord, as we now, we share in what you've done for us. Thank you for your blood shed for us and the new covenant established in your name now. Let's share and remember what the Lord has done for us. Amen. Let's just take a moment to reflect. God has spoken. God has stirred us. He's enlightened us. He's challenged us. We're not the same after hearing what he said to us this morning. But his word demands a response. He doesn't want it to fall on deaf ears. He wants us to take hold of it. So, Lord, we commit again ourselves to you. We want to tell you how much we love you, and we thank you for your love that you have for us. And take us as a people, Lord, in understanding and living. Christ is our life. We love you, Lord. Amen. God bless you all. We love you. God loves you. Come and join us, especially those that are visitors. Come and join us with a free cappuccino. Everyone, don't rush out. There's a lovely free coffee and tea there, and there's some cappuccino there too. Please come and fellowship together with us. God bless you all. Amen.